Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're into part 17 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And if you'd like to order this tape or CD, it's program number 119. Please specify whether you want a tape or a CD. And you can get these tapes or CDs by calling
area code 479-782-7370.
Or if you'd rather fax us, you could fax us at
area code 479-782-7406.
Or email us at
alamoministries.com.
Or write us at
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505.
And this, listen, there's no obligation. The Lord gave me salvation free of charge. And I would believe that I would wind up in real bad shape if I charged anything for the messages that the Lord has given me. So, it's, again, program number 119. Specify tape or CD. Right now, we have some letters, and but now let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this service. Lord, You've given us the inward wine, and we also in Your body, in the wine skin. Now, there's no possible way that we can be of You if we're outside the wine skin. We could have a tumbler full of glass, and if we drop the glass, there's nothing that we can put in it. So anything outside of You, Lord, is not of You. Now, Lord, You, in the first chapter of Genesis, were symbolically the land, because when God's the Father, Your Spirit, You separated the waters from the land, the land came up just in symbolically as You would in the New Testament. The land was dead. And then when it came forward, Lord, all living things came from You. Now, Adam's wife came from his body, and Your bride comes from Your body. And Lord, we ask that You pour out Your Spirit on this message today, this tape, on me outwardly, so that inwardly everyone can receive You and the church can receive the reality of the truth of Your word, that they may be strong and be able to live through these tribulation times. Some people don't believe that we're in the tribulation, but there are many people that are going to find out that that which has happened to the people already that we've seen on television and heard, read in newspapers and heard on radio, that these things were absolutely tribulations to the people that these things happened to. And a lot of Christians are receiving tribulations or persecutions from the Antichrist cult, its government, and the media that is nothing but a vehicle for Satan's cult, the Antichrist, to spew out all their fallacies. They've plus the government that passes these messages along to the media. And Lord, we pray that people will begin listening to You and Your servants who have been appointed by You to rule this world. You gave the authority of this world over to Adam, and Adam and his wife sold that authority. They gave the authority to Satan by listening to him rather than to You. And therefore, that's why You caused a great curse to fall on the earth. You cursed the earth, and then You cursed it again when You flooded the whole world because people were listening to Satan rather than to You. And now You're pouring out the great plagues upon the earth. We haven't seen the super great ones yet, but they're right at the door. Lord, they could happen any second. I see recently mudslides and all these different things. on the television, in the news, and people just wonder what's going on. Well, Lord, you told us that when people begin making war against you, that you're going to retaliate, that you're going to make war against them, and there isn't anything little folks that you made out of dust can do about it. All they can do is receive the plagues and die, and then their spirits go before you and they go to hell in the lake of fire. And they don't like you, and you don't like them either. Otherwise, you would not destroy them and send their souls to hell in the lake of fire forever. That's the kind of God you are. They don't want to hear the real truth of you, Father. What they want to do is hear of this namby-pamby message that the false prophets have been preaching for years. But you're a God that is a loving God, but you also kill and you destroy and you hate Satan and those that believe him rather than you. And so therefore, let them realize this, Lord, and start listening to you before your wrath, your terrible judgment falls upon them, and they are in hell and the lake of fire forever. Lord, elevate the church, save souls in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From the Ivory Coast in Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Ulamo, glory to the Most High God who allowed me to learn about your world newsletter so I could write you this letter with such joy in my heart. Dear Pastor, one day I was visiting a friend whose brother is a pastor at another church. The pastor gave me your world newsletter. While I read this article that he offered to me, I started liking what it contained, as it greatly opened my spirit and led me to know and learn a lot of information that has been hidden from the entire world. The article I am referring to is Another Pearl Harbor. I really want to thank you for making known to the whole world that the Pope, Rome, and the Vatican are mafioso. What is in this article has made me discern that they orchestrated the overthrow of the government in the Ivory Coast. On the invitation of the Pope, our President of the Republic went to Rome. On the very next day of his visit, the rebels invaded the Ivory Coast. The result was that everybody knew something was up, and since that day my country has been suffering, and there has been no more peace.
This is what Satan is all about. He comes to kill and destroy. Amen?
Amen.
And steal. He's a thief and a liar and a robber and a destroyer. And God has destroyed his works on the cross at Calvary. He knows his time is short, and that's why he's gone completely insane on the face of the earth and doesn't even care if people know that the Vatican is the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist, and all the people that follow the Vatican and the government and its media. They don't even care if you know. And that they're the devil. They don't care because they figure they've got it made. But they're preaching peace and safety. The Word of God, the Bible says that when they do this, that there's going to be peace and safety when everybody joins in with the world government under the direction of the cult, the world cult, and this media, and they start believing them over you. Then comes sudden destruction. That destruction is coming from you. All people need to do is to read chapter 24 in Matthew and also the book of Revelation to see the devastation that you're going to cause on this world and the people that are on this earth that follow Satan. You've never destroyed your own people. The people that are of you, you will tell them where to go. Those that have a hearing ear, that hear the Spirit of the Lord. And you'll direct people to go where they'll be safe. And you'll direct us to where there's food, water, clothing, housing, everything. And so I feel a lot of people think about, storing up food and supplies and stuff like that. Don't even worry about it. The people of Israel that were delivered out of Egypt, they didn't worry about it. They just went. And the Lord took care of them. We have to trust the Lord. He's provided everything for us from the beginning of time. We have to believe that the Lord is our Savior, that He saves our souls, that He's our healer, He's our provider for everything. Everything. When the land rose up in the book, the first chapter of Genesis, every living thing came out of the earth. Grass, the herbs, trees with fruit on it and seed inside of it, fish and fowl and animals of all sorts. And then later, at the sixth day, You created man out of the dust. And look at how man that You created, Father, has now decided that they're going to make war against You. These little mud patties made out of dust. Isn't that something? No wonder You're going to kill billions of people on this earth for their disrespect. They made war against You by taking the Bible out of school and taking Your name out of courthouses and trying to desecrate. They're desecrating Your name. And anybody that really loves You, Lord, hates them as You do. But we know that we can't do anything about it but to pray to You and preach Your word. Pray, Lord, that these people, well, that You'll teach them a lesson that they're never going to forget. And I see in Your word that You're going to do it. It's for sure You're going to destroy them. And, my God, they've caused us so much trouble, and they've murdered Christians, true Christians, down through the years, the Vatican, and all these false religions, and the media says such evil things. Cut their wires, Lord, so they can't say these things any longer. Cut their roots out in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, now what else here?
Pastor, this article that I read is coveted today by many people. They want to receive more articles. Please, dear Pastor, find mercy in my eyes to send other literature in the mail without forgetting Your book, The Messiah.
Well, listen, you know, people in the mail room, make sure that people that write letters like this, that you load them up to the gills, all right? All right, then what up?
I also hope that you could give out Bible courses, and for this I would need a Thompson Bible.
Well, what do you think? Thompson Bible, you don't need that. You don't want to use study Bibles. Listen to my tapes and read my literature. I show the fallacies of all these study Bibles. You don't want to read those. Read the King James Version and listen to my tapes and read my literature. And if you have any questions, ask right in. You don't need those study Bibles, all right? Some people, you hear these phonies on television, say, I just love the NIV. I just love the Amplified and all this stuff. You don't need them, okay? All you need is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
I would like you to know that I am in an evangelical church where every 2 months we go out from the church to evangelize in other cities and villages.
Is that right? We go out every day. Amen?
Amen.
We've got crews on the street every single day of our lives. Even if it's raining and we're in the big cities, what we do is we go down into these underground garages and stuff, and these high-rise garages where they're parking cars, where people park their cars, and we put them on the windshields every place. And for this, the government really hates it because the Antichrist government hates us exposing the evil of the Antichrist and all the people that are the corporate body of Antichrist. Then what?
Without asking you for too much, I would like you to send me a small Bible and your literature so that I can distribute them during the evangelizing campaigns.
Amen. Well, we'll send you. We don't have very small Bibles, but they're not really super big, but we'll send you some of those, all right? Then what?
I hope for a favorable reply to my letter. Pastor, may the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called you to serve Him, enlarge your harvest field. May He rain showers of blessings upon you, your family, and your ministry. May His grace accompany you everywhere you go. Amen. Your son in the Lord Jesus Christ, Gaston from Ivory Coast.
Okay, the Lord's grace is His power. All power in heaven and on earth. All Christ is the power and wisdom of God. And He is the everything. He is the land. He is the symbolic. Christ is symbolized in the first chapter of Genesis as the land and every living thing. And in the New Testament, He is symbolized as the kingdom of heaven and every living thing. Amen?
Amen.
Everything is Christ. The earth is Christ. The fullness of the whole universe is Christ. The things that we eat and drink are symbolic of Christ. our living places where we live are symbolic of our temple, which is in heaven, which we must be living in Christ now, and he must live in us. We're his temple, and he's ours. We have to be clothed upon with the temple, with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And he must work in human beings. He said it pleased him that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And that's what we do. That's what we do. Okay, then what?
Next letter?
Yeah.
Is from Fayetteville, Georgia. To Mr. Pastor Tony Ulamo, how are things for you and your ministry? I am very thankful to be on your mailing list. All the literature that I've received has really opened my eyes on what the Lord has planned for me. You know, with my walk with God now, the devil has come at me in a lot of ways.
Of course he does. That's his job. Our job is to resist him, and he flees from us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Like, for instance, there is a person here that really aggravates me, and with my old ways, I would have got into a fight with him. But now, by the grace of God on my side...
By the power of God on your side, yes.
And the ability to pray, Satan can't get me upset anymore. I read your literature unveiled. It really made me want to seek out the Lord even more, because if it's really going to happen as it says in Revelations, then I feel sorry for the lost souls and pray that they find him, the Lord Jesus, rather than him, the beast, before it's all said and done.
Right, but brother, everybody has a will. If they will to reject the Lord's mercy and the job that he wants to do in and through them, well, then the Lord rejects them as well. So in no way does the Lord ever lose. He knew the ones that were going to receive him, accept him before the foundation of the world. Even Jesus, the Bible said, was crucified before the foundation of the world. All these things, the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of many sons and daughters, was all planned out before the earth was ever created, okay, before God ever did that, and the heavens. And so when we see that in the Old Testament, and we see that God knew that all the time. He said he's going to be coming to the world as a man. And it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. In other words, God, the Word, came into this world in a man. All right? And he did that so that he could have genuine human blood, so that he could acquaint us with God, because nobody really knew God. But God sent his one and only Son, his representative, into the world, his ambassador, to show us what God really is and what he's like, and what he goes for and what he doesn't go for. And Jesus preached hellfire and brimstone. He preached that there's going to be a... He told us that there's a heaven and a hell, and that we must keep the commandments, and not one jot or tittle of the law will be removed until all is fulfilled. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Not one jot or tittle will be be done away with until everything is accomplished in him. He accomplished everything, and he let us know that he has to live in us if we're going to be able to make it. If he's in us, we're more than conquerors. We can do all things in him, and he protects us. He's provided protection for us from before the foundation of the world also. Now, why Christ came into the world is because Adam failed. He listened to Satan rather than to God. Jesus came into the world and showed us that he listened only to God. And he said, if we're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, we must come unto him, all of us that are heavy laden, and he will give us rest or Sabbath. And then he goes on to tell us that he is the Sabbath. He also tells us that he's the resurrection. He also tells us he's the life. And in the first chapter of Genesis, we see that the symbolism of him being the land raising out of the water, resurrecting out of the water. We see also that this is symbolic of Christ resurrecting from dead, and all life, every kind of life, from grass to humans, comes out of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Did we not come out of the earth?
Yes.
Yes, we did. He fashioned us out of the earth, and then he gave us temporal life. He gave them eternal life, but they blew it. They began listening to Satan. And the Bible says that all human beings that are not born again of the Spirit the whole worldly people are deceived. And the Lord's going to burn all the deceived people up if they don't, when they hear the message, repent and ask Christ with the Father by the Spirit to enter them. And this is why he says he sends us preachers into the world. And that's why he likes to persecute, the devil likes to persecute us, because he, and that's why he wants the Bible out of schools. And he wants to, in many countries, he's already outlawed the Bible. If you read the Bible, you can be thrown in prison, even put to death. Because Satan does not want you to go to heaven. And so listen very closely to these messages. And if they're going too fast for you, order them so that you can listen to them over and over and over again, because the reproof of the word of the Lord is the way of life. That's not only, that's eternal life and life more abundantly right here on earth. Because Jesus is all life. If you don't have him, you do not have eternal life. Some people are practicing Buddhism. There's no life in Buddhism. What are you wasting your time for? You've been misdirected. Tina Turner told you that she does that, and so you want to start mumbo-jumbo these different chants to this non-God. There's nothing to him. He's nothing. Or that you're serving Muhammad or any other false god. There's no life in anyone but Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. Everything in the Bible symbolizes him in the Old Testament. He's the very center of the land. He's the land. He's the very center of the land. He's the Canaan land. He's the temple in the Canaan land. He's the city, Jerusalem. He is the New Jerusalem. He's the head of the church. He is the actual body of the church. We are his body only because of the fact that we have him in us and we're members of his body. And so everything is Christ. Not Muhammad. I mean, how could you worship some man or some stinking statue or some unscriptural weasel that God calls the Antichrist in Rome and throughout the world? And you hear these liars. What makes liars entice you to the point that your soul is lost? Stop listening to liars and listen to the Lord, the truth. If that's too square for you, then you'll be sorry that you made the wrong choice. You have a will. You can choose to go to listen to the Lord or to Satan. Anything that you're listening to other than the Lord is Satan. Or you're calling Buddha Satan? Yes. Yes! And if you're listening to Muhammad, you're listening to the devil. Jesus said, no man comes into the kingdom of heaven. No man comes unto the Father but through me. All the people before me or after me that say that they're the Messiah, or that they have life, are liars. And the truth is not in them. They are led by Satan. It's the spirit of Satan living in them, just like the spirit of God is living in me and every other born of the spirit Christian. Okay, now what's the rest of this letter?
I just hope that when my time here is done, that you and your family of Christian brothers and sisters will expect me in your home, because I really want to be around Christians that are on fire for the Lord. I'm tired of being around people that only want what the flesh desires and not what God desires for us. I'm so ready to do for God and his people.
Right. You sound like a real person that is motivated to do what the Lord wants instead of what you want or any people want. Okay, then what?
So please respond to my letter whether I can come or not.
Yes, you can come, but I live in a very small house. It's like one room, and there's just, I mean, with all the work that I'm doing in here, it's just piled up with stuff, so you won't be able to live with it in this house with me, but we have other places, apartments and houses and brothers' dorms and things like that. And you're welcome. You can come. You know, just come on. Okay, then what?
I thank you from our God and Lord Jesus Christ for the knowledge that you send to me, and I would like anything else that you can send to me about God, and I would love a copy of the Messiah. It has to be a paperback book, and also any other good literature that you have. Thanks.
It is a paperback book. You know, we understand that because I was sent to prison for the gospel's sake, just like Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and all the other brethren. And I understand the rules of the FCI, the Federal, what?
Correction Institute.
They correct people? Come on, get out of there. Those people are more corrupt than the people that are in there. Okay, then what?
Sign. Thanks and God bless. Robert from Fayetteville, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Robert. Is that the you got more?
One more, yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
From Kumasi, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am with much pleasure to write you this letter. I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. All this came into being by reading your literature. I am fond of reading your literature, since I don't have a Bible, I would be grateful if you could send me one.
Oh, I love it when people ask for Bibles or literature. You don't know how that thrills my soul. And any of you out there, don't be bashful. You act like I'm like one of the people of the world that I wouldn't send something that you ask for. You go ahead, you'll see that, I mean, that Bible is yours, brother or sister, whoever you are, and it'll be yours. Any one of you out in Radio Land that can't afford a Bible, just or literature or the Messiah book, just write and I prove it to you. You know, we'll get it to you for sure. All right, it pleases the Lord, and it pleases me very much to do this for you. All right. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'm all about, is to just win souls. I'm in the body of Christ. I care about people that are dead out in the world and need to have the living Christ, God with the Father, Jesus with the Father by the Spirit living in them. And I care about the members of the church. The Lord symbolizes these members in the church by a man with a withered hand. The hand is part of our body. Well, a person in the church that is withering away, that's dying, and is you can see that they're spiritually not sound. They're like withered hand, and the Lord lets us know that He doesn't care anything about the Sabbath, but, or rules and regulations and so on, but He cares about a withered member in the church, a member that's dying or is withered up, somebody that's dead. And He showed that He cared about him because He went in on the Sabbath and healed this man's withered hand. That's what the Lord cares about, is healing. Saving and healing and resurrecting people from their dead lives of sin and getting them into heaven. So, you know, the Lord, the people in most churches today don't care anything about the people, the souls in the churches that are falling away, that are withering up in there. I had a person in the church the other day called me. He doesn't speak good English. He said he's moving a new person into the church. And I said, this was a baby Christian. He says, well, where? I asked him, where are the older Christians? He said, they all went home. Well, this is why the Lord has got me preaching this message about these people that would go home and don't care anything about the Lord's body. Somebody that's a member of Christ and they're withering up and dying away, they're dead. They are the dead ones. This man that did this was David Schiff. He's been around for 30-some years. He just walks out and leaves the church in the hands of somebody that's just been there for a couple months. And the older people in the church and churches all over the world have fallen away. The Bible said that they will be, the new people will be the first people, will be last, and the last people that come into the body of Christ will be first. The people, they just don't care anything about, all they care about is rules, regulations, Nazi, you just do what it says, and that satisfies them enough if they keep the rules and regulations. But they don't walk in the Spirit. They're not in the body of Christ. And they don't care about staying around. Sleep is more important to them. Eating and sleeping and going to bed on the right at the right time and so on. When Jesus stayed up all night long, He'd pray on the mountainside. And the Lord would go through towns and heal everybody in town. Every single person, you know, that's... Because that isn't any big thing with God. God can do what He will. And He doesn't will that anybody is lost or that they have withered hands. And He, in the synagogue, healed the withered hand of this man. And He wants to heal all the withered people in the world, all the dead people in the world, and all the withered people in the church. This is like the second Sabbath. Because the first one is where he's exalting his head, himself, where he says that we must be the body of the head. And he also walked purposely through cornfields and told his disciples it was on the Sabbath, told them to go ahead and eat. Pick the stuff. You're not allowed to pick stuff. Well, but the disciples are hungry to eat the corn and wine, the word of God, and these older people don't pay any attention. They'd rather do carpenter work. They'd rather do concrete work, but far be it from them that they should be caring about the withered people in the church. They just turn the church over to baby Christians. And let me tell you, people that are in churches that do such a thing as that, you don't care about the Lord. Each member is a member of the body of Christ. And if you don't care about the Lord, you're going to be in a hotter place in hell than the people that don't know him, the ones that we're going out there and witnessing to and testifying to, and the ones that I'm preaching to on the radio, on AM radio, FM radio, and shortwave all over the world. And this message is for you. People must care about one another. You must care about Christ's body, the ones that are withered in the church that need to be helped. I mean, when this church first opened, the brothers and sisters wanted to help one another. They used to read and get along really good together. But now it's like these people that have been around for years, they just say, well, we've been here for a long time, and you people, we're above you. But if you're really of the Lord, you're really of the Spirit of God. I mean, you're going to wash the new convert's feet. Amen? This is one of the last things that the Lord did before he went. You're going to humble yourself and not exalt yourself because you've been sitting on the pews for years. You don't care anything about the body of Christ. The withered hands, the withered spirits, the ones that are about ready to fall. It's just too hard. It's impossible for just one member, such as the pastor, to handle all the withered souls in the church, because many of them are not ever reported. Even the older people that call themselves Christians won't even report the ones that are being withered. Many of them call me every day, and I lift them up, and I pray for them, and talk to them and as much as I can, but I'm only one person. And this is not a one-man band. This is not a one-man operation. Jesus wants to live and work in every single member of the church. And I've been preaching this message for years. And the Lord is coming back to earth again, and they're going to be weighed into balances, these ones that don't care about the withered hands, the withered spirits, the withered bodies, the ones that are in trouble, the ones that are about to fall. They're going to be weighed in the balances and found wanting, and they're going to be in hell. And what a tragic thing that they knew the truth, but then they changed the truth into a dirty, filthy lie. And there is guilty, if not more guilty, than the Pope in Rome, because of the fact that these people know the truth. And the Pope is so far in darkness that you probably couldn't get him out of the pipes with if you sent for all the people from Roto-Rooter. Okay? All right, then what?
May God continue to bless you. I hope to hear from you very soon. Yours in Christ, Francis, from the St. Joseph Catholic Church in Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know, I think that I have so many people that are Catholic friends. My Charlie Tartella is a friend of mine. He's Catholic. And I had a plan going. The Lord led me to let all the women that got pregnant and they don't want to have the child. I made deals with the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital here in Los Angeles, and with the Catholic hospital right next to St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis. And the mother superior there, and I were great friends. I mean, she just opened up the doors of the hospital and says, yes, we're into saving lives. So that's why I know that there are many millions of Catholics that are very sweet people, but they don't know the corruption that's in that cult. And I know the corruption that's in my church. I mean, there are a lot of people there, but the head of this church is not like the Pope. I'm not like the Pope at all. I am just a member of the body of Christ. Okay, and so there's no comparison. See, there can be corruption in the members. But it's just the opposite with the Catholics. there are many real sweet, beautiful people that love the Lord in the Catholic culture, and they just need to get out of there. And they love to say, I'm Catholic, because it's a big organization. But you know, Jesus always traveled with a small little group. And he stated that there would be clusters of true Spirit-filled Christians, people that have God with Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit in them. And then the angel comes and reaps each of these little clusters all over the world, and it amounts to a large body of Christ. Okay? So, I'm not against Catholic people. I'm not against Muslim people. I'm not against Buddhist people. I'm not against any kind of people. I'm trying to win their souls. Now, I'm the best friend they ever had.
Amen.
Okay? I'm just against false doctrine. I just don't want to see them go to hell. And if you think that's wrong, well, then you must be the devil. Okay? You must be. Okay? How could you not want people to go to heaven? And all I'm doing is giving them sound doctrine from the Bible. And if you... I mean, I've written a lot of pieces of literature and done a lot of tapes, and I send you Bibles so that you can look in there and see if what I'm telling you is the truth. And it is the truth. Okay, Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth, the only life, the only way that you can get to heaven. And don't let anybody kid you or lie to you that it's otherwise. Okay, is there more?
No, that was it.
Okay, so now let's get into part 17. How to have God's life living, working in you, living in you. Amen? Okay, so where did we leave off yesterday?
In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, quote, at that
okay,
time.
Okay, you take everyone out there and get to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25?
Yes.
Okay, give me a little chance here. Give them a chance. Amen? Okay, when I see everybody in this room, get to that chapter and verse and book, then I know that you must have it. All right, so everybody's all set here, so you must too. Now let's start reading.
In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, quote, at that time, unquote, we have to find out what time he's talking about. At the time Jesus said that, John came neither eating nor drinking.
Right, so see, the world is going to condemn you. John didn't eat in fancy restaurants. He didn't eat anything but stuff that is primarily disgusting to most people. You know, eating bugs, right? Like grasshoppers, or I mean locusts, same about the same thing, and washing it down with wild honey. Okay, that get a little old after a while. It would be first you'd have to push me hard. Or, you know, be a gunpoint at my head before I'd even bite into one of them. Okay? And so that's not what I call fine cuisine or even just average cuisine. But go ahead. But then Jesus ate and drank, and they condemned both of them. So no matter which way you go with it. Amen? It says, God is, the kingdom of heaven is not food and drink. The Lord breaks these rules and regulations of religion. Religion says, no talking to sinners. Do not talk to sinners. I mean, how could you be... Don't be... Look at him. He's witnessing to a whore. Oh, what did the Lord said? He came here to save whores and pimps and murderers and every form of criminal and lawbreaker. That's what he came here for. But they just sit aside in their temples, and they're like David Sheff and some of the people in my church that like to go home early and leave the whole church over to brand new baby Christians that are full of zeal, and they just try to do the best they can, and they're the ones that turn in a contraband. We don't allow any guns, any bombs, bullets, or any kind of carnal weapon in our church. We don't allow any drugs, any narcotics, alcohol, no booze. If you're going to move in here, if you're a boozer, you can't move in here unless you get rid of that first. Show me, John the Baptist said, show me that you really have repented of all that sort of stuff, and no pornography and no false doctrine. You're not going to bring any of your books in here of Christian books without them being screened by me. Okay? because I'm the one responsible. The Lord has made me the shepherd of this flock. And, you know, you can go to thousands of churches in this world that let you do anything you want. But I want God. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to have one lighthouse on this earth. At least one. And I'm going to make sure that mine is that way. I see others rising up all over the world that from the literature that I've written and everything. And I just pray that every one of them will feel and be the same way that I am. Not imitating Christ, but being members of Christ in Him as the temple and Him in us as we are His temple. Then what?
People that are into religion say that John had a demon and that the Son of Man, because he came both eating and drinking, was a glutton and a wine bibber. Matthew chapter 11, verse 18 through 19.
Yeah, no matter, you know, what, both of these, one was God himself, and they're saying he's a drunkard and a wine bibber. And then here, the forerunner of God on earth, Emmanuel with us, is they're condemning both of them. And what do? But destroy souls. The religions are of the devil, the Bible clearly shows us, but salvation is only of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Then, here's those words again, at that time, the Lord sounded out his call to, quote, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
Yeah, come into my body so that you can just go with me as the Spirit when I become the Spirit. You can go with me rather than rules and regulations and strictness. I mean, now I'm the Sabbath, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and just be in me. And if I tell you to go ahead and pick up sticks on the Sabbath, or tell you to pick corn, or to go and heal somebody in the church by showing them the right way, the truth, and the life, or if you're going to be doing whatever the Lord leads you to do on the Sabbath, there's no rules and regulations to that. Okay? The Lord cares more about the withered people than he does the Sabbath. Amen? Mm-hmm. So the Sabbath, there's that church of Seventh-day Adventists that build their whole religion on the Sabbath. And it's wrong. They need to start getting into the Spirit of God. If they did and started caring about all the withered people in this world, the dead people in this world and the withered people in the church, why, we'd see a revival that you wouldn't believe. Amen?
Amen.
You wouldn't believe it. Now, I'm telling you how to have a real revival. Amen?
Amen?
And that's being part of the body of Christ. That's being one of his members. That's caring about the body, because the body is Christ. If you don't care about Christ's body and the head and the purpose that he came here for, then who are you but the devil? Okay, then what?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath or rest.
He didn't say, come unto religions, all ye that are, what?
All ye that labor and are heavy laden.
No, he says, come unto me, God, Emmanuel, God with us. Well, you say, Jesus wasn't God. No, you're wrong. Jesus said, I am God, the Almighty, and the Bible states all the way through that he is Emmanuel, God with us, the Almighty, and he was born in a manger. And that's the significance. I mean, this is incredible that God is actually in a human being, walked on this earth. This has never been done before. The same thing happens to us. He continues, now that he's the Spirit living in us, God is living in us, continuing the work of Christ, his incarnation in human bodies. This is the way it works. God said that it pleased him that the world would be saved by himself living in human bodies, preaching the gospel. It pleased God that the world would be saved by preaching the gospel. Well, who would be preaching the gospel today if Christ wasn't living in us? It has to be the work of Christ. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to be the Lord anointing me right now. Otherwise, I don't know how to speak, and I don't know how to write. It has to be Lord in me. I give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen?
Amen.
Because before the Lord, I prayed to the Lord to give me the anointing of how to write. Because when I wrote, if I wrote my mother when she was alive, I'd say, Ma,
How are you? I hope fine. And stuff like that, you know. But now the Lord has given me an incredible gift, you know, to write. The Lord has given me the Spirit that leads me and shows me different things, the events that are happening on earth, and tells me what to say about them. All right, now let's continue on. And he'll do the same for you. He's no respecter of person. If you'll just get just come unto him and just get swallowed up in Christ. Just get involved with him all the way, because he's not going to allow any of us to be one foot in the world and the other one in Christ. That doesn't work. You have to surrender yourself completely over to the Lord or over to the world. And the Lord says, love not the world. The closer you get to the Lord, the further and further you get out of this world, and the more peace you have and enjoyment with the Lord. You enjoy the land. We enjoy the land. All these things that we eat and drink are symbolic of Jesus. Amen? The house we live in, we enjoy it, you know, because it gives us shelter. Amen? Well, this is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we have is from Christ or is Christ. So whatever we take in is Christ. The word that you hear is Christ. The Bible says that he's the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
I will give you Sabbath or give you rest. Verse 28.
Yeah, because he said he is the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
And that not only is he the Sabbath, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, he said. So if I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, he said, he's God. Yeah, how do I say, what authority does he have? We'll read the first chapter of Genesis. He created everything in the world and in the heavens, and so that's the authority he has, okay? He's boss, amen?
Yeah.
The big boss, okay? I just like me, I'm the boss of my shoes and socks and clothes. I can take my shoes and socks off. I'm the Lord of my shoes and socks. Or I can put them back on again if I want, amen?
Yeah.
I can take a shower if I want. Or I don't have to take a shower if I want and become antisocial. Okay, then what?
So when we go to the first verse in chapter 12, we see the same words, at that time. At the time, Jesus sounded his call. At that time, Jesus invited people to come unto him and Sabbath or rest.
Yeah, because he is the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. That, in other words, get away from religion, the rules, the regulations, the strictness, the coldness, the nothingness. Okay, then what?
Following this verse at the beginning of chapter 12, then we go to verse 38, which opens with a word, which is small, quote, then, unquote. All these small words join all the portions in these two chapters. It fuses them together. So these two chapters are actually one whole chapter showing us one thing, how to find rest or Sabbath.
Right, that's how to have God's life living in you. You cannot really have the true Sabbath unless the Lord of the Sabbath himself, is living in you. The rest. He says, come into me, let me come into you, so the rest, am in you. And you come into me so that you can be in me, the rest, and I in you, the rest, the Sabbath. I'm in the Sabbath all the time. God forbid that you're not in the Sabbath every day. Okay, so Seventh-day Adventists, please take note that we don't just have Sabbath one day or 2 days like the Jews, when the sun goes down on Friday and then it's over with on when the sun goes down on Saturday. But we must be in the Sabbath, in the Spirit, every day, because Jesus is the Sabbath. The Messiah is the Sabbath. He's God. He created everything, and so we got to do what he says. Amen?
Amen?
Now, everything in the Old Testament was pointing to the real Sabbath, which is Christ. So the Lord, he had to have some strict rules and regulations about the offering of animals instead of, but these were all pointing to Jesus. When he came, there's no more sacrifice of animals or chickens or doves or anything like that. And there's no more certain day for Sabbath. Right now is the acceptable time to receive the Sabbath. Right now. Live in Christ and rest in him. For he is the Sabbath. He takes all, if you're heavy laden, he takes all that burden away. He says his burden is easy and gentle. Easy and light. The word
light in the Greek, tehillim, Greek means, or the other language, the Hebrew or Aramaic means gentle. He's easy and gentle, and he's effective because it's the Spirit. The letter, or these rules and regulations, kill, but the Spirit giveth life. And he said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. So listen to these words when he says, he's the Sabbath. Don't be shining them on you. This is God talking to you. Okay, then what? Okay, all you Seventh-day Adventists and all you Jews. Celebrate the Lord every day, enjoy him every day, and live in the Spirit. Enjoy him every day. Amen?
Amen.
Right, then what?
Wouldn't you like to have rest and Sabbath and peace and enjoyment in this terrible world today?
Every day of your life? Of course you would, wouldn't you? Would you want to enough to get saved today? To get into the Sabbath, the real Sabbath, the Lord, God himself, Emmanuel, who is here with us? He's with us today. Amen?
Amen.
And I want him to be with me tomorrow, mañana, okay? Then what?
Would you like to find full enjoyment? Would that not be peaceful and calming and pleasant? If that's what you would like to have, well, then you have to be in the presence of the wonderful, calming, and pleasant person.
The bridegroom. Then what?
To be in the presence of the bridegroom.
Amen.
As long as we have our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our bridegroom with us, we can't do anything but rejoice.
Right. So, well, why should we fast? Well, how can we mourn when the bridegroom is with us? Amen?
Amen.
So that goes away, too, the fasting. Now, if you've fallen away from the Lord, the bridegroom is no longer with you, so you better get on your knees and fast. Amen? Sackcloth and ashes. Okay? Then what?
From all these verses in chapter 11 and 12, it's easy to see something more. We see how to find Sabbath or rest. Now, a lot of people that call themselves Christians quote Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, quote, come unto me, all ye that labor, and are these verses in not a proper way. They need to put all the verses...
God's life living in you. Amen?
Amen.
So that you can rest. You know, it's easy when you know that for sure you're not going to hell in the lake of fire. You know you're going to heaven. That's peaceful. You know, to me, that's restful. Amen.
Amen.
That's calming. That's makes me want to. That makes me lie down in green pastures. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I don't want anything anymore. Amen.
Amen.
I shall not want. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Then what?
So religion is death, and life is of the Lord.
Amen. He said, "I am the life." Okay.
John the Baptist came. He wasn't eating or drinking. He was not a glutton or a winebibber. He behaved completely contrary to religion and to the human culture, and he would not fit in even today. And because of this, the Pharisees and scribes, the religious people, said that he had a demon, a devil. So to the people of that day, he was very weird. They couldn't understand him. So they had to make up that if they can't understand a person, then you must be a demon.
Right. If you can't understand the work, you know, when we first had the start of the work, people were getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, these hippies, and the police came in and started beating them up with belly clubs. And they started saying that we had them on a new drug. Just like in the book of Acts, they said they're in a new wine. And they were beating them up and arresting them. And myself also, I was in jail for the gospel. And they were too, hippies. And they would be speaking in tongues as well. Okay, then what?
Then Jesus came, both eating and drinking, and the religious people said, look, this man seems to know nothing but eating and drinking. But I don't see any regulation in the Bible that God made saying that we should not eat or drink.
Just as religious rules and regulations. Amen?
Amen.
Throw them out. Amen?
Amen.
Like on Friday, the Catholics got you eating fish. That's one. I don't like fish that well. Okay, I'll eat what the Lord lets me eat on Friday. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It becomes a burden. It becomes a religion. On the other hand, if any rule is made saying that we must eat and drink large amounts of food and liquid...
Or fish.
This also becomes a heavy burden.
Yeah. especially if the fish is, smells bad. Okay, what else?
It becomes a religion. But to us, the children of wisdom, those that fear the Lord, it is not a matter of abstaining from food or drink, neither is it a matter of eating and drinking, but it is 100% a matter of life.
Yeah, living in life, living in Christ, with Christ as life, living in the wineskin, having the wine living in you. Then what?
In other words, if you're in the Lord, you have eternal life.
That's more important than eating fish on Friday, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that more important than having somebody tell you what you can and can't eat, or that you can't go and witness and testify to sinners and eat with them? Look at that, they say. Go on forever. But we only have an hour on radio. And so you could have life in you, and you could shed this false thing called religion, and you could be in Christ, and Christ will be in you. And, it's a journey. It's an everyday thing. But the first step is the first step. You must be born of the Spirit. Jesus said it's not a thing that you should do, but you must do to get into heaven. So it's a must. And so let's do that. Let's pray together so that you can have Christ in you and clothed with Christ, and that you can have the mind of Christ by reading and listening to the Word. So just repeat after me to the Lord, so that you can be born again of the Spirit. Repeat to Him now with all your heart, or as much as your heart can. Say to Him, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants you to trust Him. He says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So say, Lord, I am calling upon You, and I know I'm going to be saved. Wash all these filthy sins that I've committed in the past away in Your precious blood. I know with Your power in me, I will not sin from now on, because I'm going to keep reading and keep pouring You, the Word, into me, so that I can have eternal life and be baptized in Your Spirit every day. You will not turn me away. You will save my soul. I know, because Your Word says so. Your Word says You'll turn no one away. Therefore, I know You've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. And just raise your hands up now and praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. I just walk in the Word. Read that Word and just thank Him and give glory to Him all the time, in Jesus' name. So if you want a copy of this tape, it's tape 119, or you can have a CD. Please specify it, and tune in tomorrow for part 18 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and I'm so happy you're saved. And God, right now, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing because you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are saved. Glory to God. Amen.